Iowa Hawkeyes have their quarterback, South Dakota State transfer Mark Gronowski. Is he the savior for this dire multi-year slide at the quarterback position for the Hawkeyes? We're going to find out, but there's a lot of excitement right now, a lot of hype. The first half of this episode is all about Gronowski. After that, we get into some college football playoff. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go. We won't give any reasons out, but Grant, he's run down.
I'm tired.
You hit that adult world, Grant, and it just, oh, man. Have your bones started to feel creaky yet? 22 years old, you're starting to feel it a little.
Creaky? I don't know. I will say I had a.
I'm kidding, but.
I think I talked about it on here. I had heartburn for the first time ever.
Oh, really?
Recently. And it was the weirdest experience ever. Because, like, I mean, you imagine heartburn to be like a burn in your chest, and it's just not what it feels like at all.
What does it feel like to you?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. You've had heartburn before, right?
Yeah. Any division one football player that has to eat massive amounts of food has had heartburn before.
Right. So it's not like your whole chest is burning.
Sure.
It's like a smaller segment, and it's kind of like no one tells you. Like, I had to look it up because I thought, like, someone was really wrong. Because
gets a little bit tight.
Yeah, and no one tells you that whenever you try and bend over to pick something up, your chest explodes.
Pressure, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's the worst feeling ever. I was literally just laying in my bed, just Googling at, like, 11 o'clock, like, am I dying? Am I going to make it? And the internet just tells you, yeah, you are dying. But
I think that's the worst thing that Google, that our widespread information at our fingertips is probably – that's the downfall right there, is the fact that now you can get like medical answers. Welcome into the show, by the way. Grant and I just we like to bounce into these things. It's going to be a fun show tonight. It was going to be a really fun show. Some guy named Drake Kulik said, you know what? I'm jumping on tonight. And then he cucked us and he said, just kidding. I'm not.
I'm working on it. I've said a million times. I'm working on it. He's going to like everyone thinks he's gone forever. That's just I don't believe that for a second.
I would never put all the chips on the table on the gone forever.
This is like every time a boxer says they're retired. It's like, yeah, no, he's not. Get out of here, dude. Are you kidding? Yeah. You know how many times Floyd Mayweather is retired? Like 7, right? No chance.
I've heard Conor McGregor's done doing any kind of thing for several years now. All of a sudden, the money's big enough, and I think him and Logan Paul are doing something. So
who knows?
Not that we're going to pay Drake a dime to come back on this show, but
I would I'd compensate Drake for the full time back.
Well, he would get what he was getting before. I'm not going to pay him any extra.
All right.
But the value, what he gets paid in is friendship and memories. And that's really what it's about. And this is a friendship podcast.
You cannot put a price on friendship. Cannot do that.
You really can't. So we're going to bounce in tonight. Obviously this is being recorded Wednesday night. January 8th. If this is the first time you're joining us, maybe you didn't catch that first episode a couple days ago on Monday, the kickoff the new year podcast. Welcome in. My name is Tyler Kluwer. This is the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Kevin Ward usually joins us. Got a text around noon today that he had to work late tonight. Now, how much do I believe Kevin when he says he has to work? 50-50. I mean, and I don't ask.
Like, what do you mean? You think people just don't need ankles past 4 o'clock? What do you mean?
I'll leave it up for speculation.
He works in the medical industry, and medical is 24/7.
You're right. And I do believe that sometimes he's working. I just think that there have been occasions where he's not feeling it, or he's going to get back home from something right around the time that we're recording, and he'd rather just eat dinner and, you know, have a night to himself. And, you know, he's like, well, I know Kluwer will do it. Kluver's going to do the podcast anyway. So I'll just take tonight off. And that's okay. We keep him around. I like Kevin. Might have to replace him with somebody. I have somebody in mind. Not replace Kevin, but might have to get somebody else to come in here and fill in on nights when it's just me and Gary, because you know, maybe some of the hardcore listeners don't love just the Me and Gary show three times a week, if it happens to be that. Regardless, yeah, we have some fun info for tonight.
Sure. Okay. Let's hear it.
Well, I mean, Portal Kirk.
Oh, yeah, he's back. He's Portal Kirk is here. I don't know is it Portal Kirk or is it Portal Brad? Is it Portal Lester?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I think Kirk gets credit, but I don't know do you even think Kirk would give himself 100% of the credit?
No, I mean, Kirk would never give him 100% of the credit on anything, but it is an interesting question. I don't know how it works in other fan bases because I'm not a part of it, but it is intriguing to me that Brad is so forward facing as the head of the collective. Like, he is active on Twitter. He comes on this show. He goes on the local Des Moines radio shows. He goes on.
Yeah.
I think the Swarm itself does its own, you know, meetings with Brad. I know him and Tyler Barnes have had like a monthly, like little podcast show that they do for like Swarm or at one point there was something like that going on.
Yeah.
Very forward facing. And he's very honest, like pretty as much as he can be. He's very transparent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think of it like this, like Brad pre NIL pre Swarm, successful businessman.
Successful. Yeah. That's an understatement.
And in any business setting, right? Transparency, honesty is like the best thing that a customer can feel.
Sure.
Right? And when you look at NIL and kind of this whole thing, and it's like, hey, just please give us money and you might get a quarterback. We don't know.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like I don't want to say scam, but it's not the best like business model ever. So like we're seeing someone that's like, hey, we're transparent. You know, he's very open about like what they're trying to do and like how Swarm all works and stuff. That's huge to like, I think, incentivize people that maybe are on the fence about donating to actually get them to donate.
I would agree. I think it's great. It's awesome for us because we get to have him on. People have asked like, hey, let's have Brad on for another update. I plan on Brad being a recurring guest until he no longer has involvement or no longer wants to do our show. It seems like every time I ask him, he's like, absolutely, let's do it. Mm-hmm. And when he's come on, he's provided great answers, great content.
No.
And I think truly, after 2 or 3 years of them doing this now, I really believe he is the kind of guy, the guy for, you know, to lead our collective. I don't know the influence or... I don't think he has any decisional making power. I don't know why he would. That's not his job as far as like, hey, Brad, you think we should go after Gronowski? Like, no, that is within the coaching staff, Tyler Barnes, recruiting. That all falls on them. Mm-hmm. After that, it would be interesting to know how much back and forth like Brad and Gronowski have had.
I would be stunned if they have never spoken. Stunned.
Agreed.
Like they had talked in some capacity.
Right. Like he has to be involved in those conversations. The number that Mark Gronowski committed to Iowa, by the way, we buried the lead there, but everyone kind of knows at this point we're a day behind because we record on Wednesdays. This happened on Tuesday and supposedly happened actually Monday night. It wasn't released until Tuesday. If you're on the Patreon podcast, Grant and I actually live reacted to this. We were the first ones. We were on air when it was happening. Only once.
We were on air for the announcement of the announcement. He's expected to announce announcement and the actual announcement.
And the announcement.
Yeah. So
if you know anything about the taglines exclusive Patreon podcast resolutions this year, it's to break news. We're actually a news breaking podcast now.
Which it would be if for our one designated Iowa athlete who we just get to break all the news about them. It would be very, very funny if it was Mark Gronowski.
Wouldn't it have been?
Yeah.
What if we were approached by Mark and he's like, hey, you know, I've been doing my due diligence on Iowa Hawkeyes, the fan base, the ecosystem. See you guys do a podcast. Love it. Great content. Everybody should listen to it. I'd love for you guys to announce my commit. You know how big that would have been for our brand?
Well, I mean, I don't know if what the South Dakota State media circuit is like. I'm just being totally honest. But I – would assume that any player potentially, it would be a maybe welcoming thing that, hey, like these guys, they played football. Like they're not going to do you dirty, you know?
Oh, and I think that's – yeah, I think that's one thing we can hang our hat on too is like I can't name a single – and we've really done a good job of sort of navigating potential guests where we would get into the weeds on something like that. I can name a couple names off the top of my head that we've thought about bringing on. We've had conversations, and it's like, you know, Kevin or Drake in most instances are like, I don't want that guy on the show. Yeah.
By the way, time out real quick. When we said we're breaking news or whatever for whoever this guy is – the moment it's not positive or like if it's like actual real news, I'm out.
Yeah, we're out.
I'm out. I'm
we're sorry. Only in on news that doesn't matter or could or is
really cool
or is theoretical. So no, that's
I want it has to be cool. It has to be positive or funny. But if it's another three, like if it's like so-and-so arrested at a local Iowa City.
Oh, yeah. We don't
I'm not breaking that. I'm sorry. That's not mine. Nope.
Yeah, we don't want any of that.
I don't. I was unaware.
In fact, I will we'll actively participate as a brand in burying that. We'll try to bury any story that goes against some of the players. I do think that, you know, with this whole 85 scholarship thing, 105 roster limit, there's going to be 20 guys at all times now who are getting paid. Like we're going to get into rev share here in a few episodes. I know that's, I'm putting together a 10 questions for the off season that I think is going to be a really good episode. Grant and I will go through it. Who knows if Kevin will be there. But one of those questions is going to revolve around the rev share. One of those questions is going to revolve around how this roster gets down to 105. And I do believe that the 20 guys who aren't on official scholarship, we should get like rights. We should get rights to their breaking news because they're like the walk-ons now, right?
Sure.
Because you know because it's like a pseudo walk-on. It's not real because they're still going to get paid. Mm-hmm.
If
save the walk-ons T-shirt coming soon, by the way.
Yeah. Now, if you are a parent of a Iowa football player, you know an Iowa football player who wants an exclusive.
Yeah.
We will break your news,
and if you just
think it'll be fun,
and we'll make it funny.
Absolutely.
We're your guys. We kind of did it on the show yesterday, but that's for a smaller audience, Grant. Your reaction to the Hawkeyes getting Mark Gronowski?
I think it's huge.
Supposedly it's the number four quarterback in the portal this offseason.
So here's my thing with that, too. I do not care about. Obviously, if you're ranked like 35th, like or like, I'd obviously rather have like ranked 10 versus like 2,000th, right? Rankings, it doesn't mean a ton to me. I'm going to be honest. There's guys who are really good, and there's also guys in the portal that I feel like are unanimously, everyone knows like how good really is this guy.
Sure.
That are ranked up high. Like, so the number is not really a big deal to me. I don't think, but no, Mark is a proven good player at the FCS level who, I mean, is the champion of FCS going to beat the champion of FBS? No. But FCS has NFL players. Like there's really good talent there,
and they do grab a lot of wins.
They do. So I think it'll work well. I also just think it's good for, in terms of if you're looking towards the future, right? What Lester is starting to kind of get his guys in and build. I think it's helping. You know, like I'm gonna like before like when Prabula was visiting, right?
Yep.
Like part of me was just like, this is a win that we're even in the conversation for this right now.
I agree on that. Yeah.
Like, is he going to come here? Would it be really cool if he does? And I want to do like participation trophy or whatever. But I was like, the fact that we're in the conversation right now for really good quarterbacks and they're visiting, they're coming to campus, they're considering it is good.
And right? I actually think that's a good, a fun topic to bring up because a lot of people like to discuss, the stigma, right? Like Iowa's got this stink on them. They've just run their offense into the ground. They're the national laughingstock. What offensive player would ever even consider coming to the University of Iowa? That's the joke. I get it. You're on Twitter. Sure. Make the jokes, right? The issue is these players are smart, and it's not an issue. It's a good thing for the Hawks and people who like to be positive, us. There's a lot to really get excited about in Iowa City. I'm talking like even in a year that is what we've called words like underwhelming, a disappointment, didn't meet expectations, 8-5, lost a bowl game, lost to our in-state rival.
Hey.
I'm just saying, this is about as down a year as you could have.
Sure.
When you're looking at the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
And there is still, I'm telling you, that black and gold, that Tiger Hawk, the reputation that Iowa has with their defense, with their special teams, and how they can make things happen. It is appealing. it is intriguing to other players. That is why Pribula is like, well, let me take a look, right? Let me take a visit. And that's why Gronowski's like, maybe I don't go to the NFL. Like, if this deal is sweet enough, I'm in. Because here's the other thing about athletes, especially like high-performing quarterback type A guys. They're the solution. In their brain, a lot of times, hey, I'm the guy.
Sure.
I'm the one who turns this thing around. And there can be some negatives to that. Like sometimes if you're a little ahead of yourself, like that might get a little bit, But to a certain extent, like that is what you want in your quarterback, in your offensive leader.
Yeah.
The guy who's running the show. You need him to believe I am the answer. I'm going to get it done when it needs to get done. And that's why Iowa, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, like, I don't know how we could be in any worse hole after the last 3 years offensively, like as reputation wise. Like, yeah, it is. I'm not saying it doesn't affect us at all. I'm just saying we got some Chattanooga receiver that's supposedly like,
So, and that's the other thing I want to add to was when you add a piece, like a quarterback, it helps other players be more intriguing coming as well. So, like, obviously, it would have been nicer if we got this on December 8th instead of January 8th now, right? Sure. But, like, you saw immediately when he committed when Gronowski – too many quarterbacks going on with
– so many. Interesting last. So many.
When Gronowski commits, 20 minutes later, you get, like, the projected, like, hey, now we think Phillips is going to go to Iowa. And that's also – by the way, this is my other – and we talked about – this later, and if you're upset with repeating information, I'm sorry, but I cannot stand with the portal world right now. The graphics that I'm getting, because like there is no reason we should see a big committed in bold letters and like faded logo, bright new logo, new school for 55% confidence. What? 55%? Like that's a
caption reads expected to.
This should just say, I don't know. Like, save the info, man. Like, sure, put like, hey, this is where I rank these guys, 55% confident. That's fine. But like to put committed up.
You don't
like,
throw the committed on there.
Like if Sam Phillips isn't a Hawkeye now, I'm going to be furious after I read that.
And we talked about it.
Could easily not be because it was 55%.
Yeah, it's basically just leaning that way. Yeah, like who knows? Like,
you could have had you have the same amount of confidence for a graphic that says, not committed.
Yeah. Do the same thing. Like you're not just, you're, a Hawkeye, 45%.
Yeah. Like what's stopping me from putting a graphic up that says committed for, I don't know, who's someone that just entered the portal, any player. And it's 15% confidence.
Yeah.
In the committed. Tiny. Why do you think it's in size 4 font in the corner? Yeah. And it's white over yellow so no one can see it.
And this is gaslighting. This is gaslighting non-tech savvy individuals, non-social media savvy individuals into thinking, oh, like it's guaranteed. It says right there, committed.
You like know? In what – especially too. I mean, we're not – like someone said the other day, they're like, Grant, aren't you the big media? And I was like, dude.
I saw that comment on your Twitter. And I think they were joking.
I think it is a joke too. But I was like, I'm not – I would not consider myself the big media. Are we in media? Yes. Should you take anything I say super seriously? Me personally, like Kluver and Kevin, maybe Drake sometimes, but me, like, I don't know. I joke around a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Like sometimes people like, didn't you say this? And I'm like, really?
That was which, by the way, coming out of your camp lately, the amount of Mark Gronowski propaganda has been fantastic. The amount of clips that you've been posting, the amount of highlights. Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
Like I said, if I like, it's part of me that. If we say it in any times, he's just going to look at his phone and be like, maybe Mark Gronowski is a Hawk. I don't know. But
and who knows? Maybe we had something to do with that. Maybe we contributed.
But anyways, going back to what I said, like, could you imagine if like the any of the news outlets, Fox, CNN or whatever, put up a graphic of like passed or whatever, like a bill passed in law in Congress. And it's like in the corner, it's like we're 55% confidence that happens. Like what? Yeah, like, you can't do that in any other field. You can't like,
well, it gets back to the whole thing of the breaking news jokes we were making earlier is like these, you know, on 3247, all these sites, all these reporters, these beat writers, these college football analysts, recruiting analysts, whatever you want to give the title, like they're in the game of clicks. And so if they can just like, I don't know what their personal standards are. They obviously vary person to person, but if you have just enough to put out a graphic and be the first one to have your article read, be the first one for someone to click on your tweet, on your little video. It's like, that's their, that's them winning. It's like, it's tough. It's a tough place to be out there.
I get that. Like, you, it, part of the game is you got to be first to information. So it's like getting hungry. But then also don't admit to 55% confidence.
Yeah, that's tough.
What?
It needs to be like 80 or better, I think, in my world. But
yeah, I want crystal balls are like 100%, 99% confidence. What happened to the crystal balls?
Yeah, the crystal balls are just shattered all over.
Like, it was like, it used to be like a point of pride on the crystal balls of like, hey, I'm like 55 for 56 on my crystal balls. Like,
yeah, now they're like, just
screw it, 50%. Why not?
Yeah, now they're just like, yeah, the tarot cards are telling me 52%. So
yeah, know, like, what?
Now I want to go back to something real quick that we, again, a little bit of a tongue in cheek joking around, but when we talk about the idea that, hey, if we just say it enough, it'll happen, right? There isn't 0% chance or 0% possibility that there's something to that. Like, I truly believe that if you're a commit, or if you're Mark Gronowski and you enter the portal, Grant, and now an entire fan base, Iowa specifically, because they're the ones that are like projected to get you. That's who everybody thinks you're going to go. I think you read some of that rhetoric. Do you think Mark Gronowski just completely avoided the internet for the last week? There's no way.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he does in his free time. But no, I will say, I can say confidently that
– and positively.
The Iowa Twitter base, the Iowa – our strong group of burners out there, you know, the Iowa Twitter base fans among us, are no one is working harder to get commits than us. Hitting the replies, hitting the retweets, posting the highlights. No one's working harder.
I mean, people are doing it for every school. I saw I saw one of the Nebraska burners. There was some kid who was like, I don't know if he was a transfer or he was just a recruit out of high school. And like, it was like, so-and-so's taken a visit to Nebraska or something, or they've expressed interest in the Cornhuskers. Mm-hmm. And one of the burners responded to his tweet that he was going on a visit and said, "Hey man, we got the best snow bunnies around. Come
to Husker." Oh yeah, the kid liked it.
Yeah. Liked the reply, like, and then the Nebraska ecosystem was like, "Boys, we got him. We got him." Like, we have a bunch of white girls up here for you. Like, what? Like, what are we doing? What is Twitter? I'm so confused.
That is funny.
But no, going back to us on a serious note, Mark Gronowski, he's 6'3", 230. Guy's bodied up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is. Here's the other thing I really like about him, and this could be, I'm sure he's had dings and stuff, but you know, I go to his stats here. I'm on ESPN, you know, 2020.
Sure.
What did he, here's something. What happened in 2021? Because there's no 2021 on there. So did he miss a season for injury? I don't know.
Okay.
But it looks like he's pretty sturdy.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's pretty, like, and I got to knock on wood here because I don't want Grant to, like, go clip this in 8 months when, if he gets injured or something. I don't want that to happen.
No, don't you dare.
But, like, he feels like a kind of guy, and this is going to be a thing, right? Because we just spent $2 billion on Cade McNamara, and then he spent.
I got to stop here. This is already, I know what you're about to say is going to jinx this so bad.
No.
I can't even, I have to stop you right now.
You just can't be a part of this.
I don't want, like, because I just don't want to be, I don't want us to even consider jinxing him.
No, but is this something to, it looks nice to have a guy who, like, doesn't have a significant, Cade coming into Iowa was coming off of a major knee surgery.
I thought you were going to say something else. Okay.
No.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally reasonable. Yeah.
Like, it feels good. Like, he's sturdy. He's 6'3", 230. That is an absolute body out there. Mm-hmm. Guy can run someone over if he needs to.
Yeah.
And supposedly this guy. Oh, by the way, someone tweeted at, I think, you and I and said Gronowski actually has 4 career punts also.
Hey, it's like, you know, being able to punt is like, you know, it's like owning a gun. Rather have one and not need it than need it and not have one. I'd rather have a QB who can punt than one who can't. And just, hey, if we never use him to punt, like Reese, I'm pretty sure job security right now is fine.
I'm looking at it right here. In each of his starting seasons at South Dakota State, mm-hmm. He had one punt a year, one punt in each year.
You never know.
He could, one of those it. Went for 48.
He could punt at any moment. You have no idea.
He's, you want to know some other fun stats about him? He has a tackle. I mean, maybe off of an interception. He has one career tackle. He's got five receptions in his career.
I saw they were running the by the way, and I don't care how exciting they are. Someone was showing that I saw some plays. He had a double pass that they ran, and he ran, and I think he might have gotten a first down or scored. I don't care how much they work, the touchdowns or whatever, Patriots running them all the time, Lions. The double passes scare me. I don't want anything to do with them.
You don't like that?
No.
More importantly, this is a guy who is said to be a guy who can run but isn't a run-first guy. He is the guy, supposedly, that Tim Lester is looking for. And I want to get into Tim Lester and the quarterbacks that he has sort of crafted this quarterback room into, or the guys he's gotten into the quarterback room since he's been here, which, by the way, is I think something like 11 months, maybe 10 months.
How long Lester's been there? Yeah. Let's call it 11.
Let's call it 11 months. It's less than a calendar year. Gronkowski had a total of almost 1,800 rushing yards.
That's a lot.
37 rushing touchdowns.
It's a good amount.
Dude. Now, this is a guy with Logan Jones at center, going to be a senior. He's coming back for another year. Does the Iowa quarterback sneak return to its glory that it once was?
Right, 6'3". We got who's playing fullback next year? Is it Eli Miller?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Valor Christian Legend.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Is the fullback even a thing anymore with 105 guys on the roster? Or is it just a backup tight end?
Ooh, good question. Well, to say it's not a thing might be disrespectful to the fullback position, but is it a like Swiss Army knife player who just can fullback as well?
Sure.
That would be the better thing. Because Hayden, there's just, with all due respect, Hayden March, there's just no chance he has eligibility left, right?
I don't think so. I think Hayden, I really want to get Hayden Large on the podcast. I'd
love
to
talk to him. Yeah.
Yeah. If he wants to, if anybody knows him or he listens, hey, hit us up. I'm going to hit you up anyway, but you know, we'd love to get you on the show. If all things go right, by the way, first outgoing senior guest of the 2025 year coming up, either probably in the next couple weeks. So, we're excited about that, but 37 rushing touchdowns, threw for 93. Against only 20 interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, look, do I watch every South Dakota State game? No.
Will you now that we have Mark Gronkowski? Yes, you'll retroactively go back and watch everyone.
I'm going to go back and watch a little bit, but whenever I did watch South Dakota State play, he was an impressive player. I never felt like he was – like I didn't think the team wasn't quite as good as they were in the two national championship years this year, but – I still thought, you know, he had moments where he looked good, man. Like I think he's a solid player. You know, other teams wanted him, and I think that's for a reason. I think he was considered in the NFL for a reason. It wasn't just because he had no shot. I'm excited to have him. I think he's promising. And also, you saw like NFL draft guys were quote tweeting his commitment, be like, wow, this is the best quarterback get for Iowa in a long time.
Yeah. What's that guy's name? Matt Miller. I think Matt Miller works in the NFL. He has some connection to Iowa. He might have played. I don't know. Yeah. He's a quarterback. I think he like grades and scouts quarterbacks and maybe does some media stuff as well. And he said that he's the one who put that out there, like best quarterback in a long time.
And again, remember too that like he doesn't have to be Cam Ward this year, where he's single-handedly making Miami from 2-10 to 10-2 this year, right?
Like, no, we don't need anything crazy. And
just gotta Gronkowski be good. He doesn't have to be even great.
No, he's
not. I would love for him to be great. If he wants to go be the first team all Big Ten quarterback, I'm not stopping you.
Right? No,
you're allowed to do that.
Sure.
But like, he doesn't have to like be an even insane like generational talent to really contribute and help out this team.
And I think part of this is going to be, it's very exciting right now, right? Like this is like, we just had Christmas. We just went through Christmas. Everybody got a present. This is like the present under the tree that like, oh, there's one more actually. We didn't see it, but here it is, Jimmy. You push it forward and it's like, oh my God, it's a transfer portal quarterback. Yay. And it's somebody that's good. We're not getting Josh Allen. Okay. Like I do think we need to set the expectation because I get a little bit worried.
Well, it's if Wyoming could get Josh, why can't we?
Well, I'm just, name a, we're not getting Tom Brady here. Like whatever quarterback that is the most polished. We're not getting a Bo Nix from the Broncos this year, right? Like,
well, I don't know. Some prominent Twitter account posted a lookalike photo, both of them next to each other. Seemed similar. Player comp.
Well, you're a Bo Lever and you're a Grow Lever.
I know we got to find something better for Gronowski. Yeah, we're working on nicknames. Yeah, yeah. I got 8 months to figure that out.
I do want to manage the expectations though, as a fake media or new media or alternate media. We're definitely not real media.
The alternative media source. We're not. Well, here's what I say. We're not the big media.
We're small
like,
media.
The big is like the ESPNs, CBSs of the world.
Sure.
Talking heads, Paul Feinbaum's. We're the, you know, we're. I don't know. We're not underground, but
we're local media. Support local media. Shout out to Iowa.
Lowercase J journalism.
Right. I want to do my part to help steady the tide of expectation, because what the Twitter mob will inevitably do is they're going to build this guy up to be the prince that was promised, the savior, right? Like, we're going to, like, you already see some of the dumb, like, oh, And most of it's jokes. Most of it's just, you know, they're just being fun. But I think some people truly believe out there, like, oh, we got a good guy. Like, we should be, like, are we going to make the natty now? Or, like, are we going to be in the playoff? Like, yeah. Let's slow our roll. Let's just slow down. But he is a good player. And I think that all things.
Your win probability against when you got Penn State and Oregon coming up next year, your win probability against them isn't shifting over to like 85% now, but it's significantly better.
But it might come up from
there like that.
It might come up from 30 to 40.
Or even just of like securing your trophies games.
Absolutely.
Basic stuff like that.
Which is going to be huge because we've got three of them. We lost a very important one. And that's a staple of what Iowa does. Let's talk a little bit quickly about... Again, I want to go back to how Lester's tenure, not even a calendar year. And we've basically got six guys coming into the room now at quarterback position that are all Lester's guys. I would say one of them is not fully Lester. Jimmy Sullivan, the recruit for the upcoming class, was a Brian Ferentz previous staff before Lester. It was a pre-Lester whatever you want to call it, they identified him. But Lester didn't make a change. Like, he didn't pull the scholarship offer from Jimmy Sullivan. He's okay with him coming in. Like, that's a guy that Lester has said he's excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Sullivan was a guy that came in last year in June. That was a Lester guy. Stratton, Lester guy. Mark Gronowski, I think you're seeing stuff all over the place where if a quarterback gets in a room and talks with Tim Lester, they start to like what they're hearing.
Yeah, that was the quote that came out, right?
So Gronowski, Lester guy, Fitzgerald's son, walk on like 3-star quarterback or something. Like, maybe who knows what he ends up playing? Who knows if he does anything? He's a quarterback in the room.
Yeah,
Lester guy, and then I think we have one more in there. So who am I forgetting?
That room should be about 60. Okay,
60, and I have five.
Let's work through it. All right, we got Gronowski. Sullivan.
Oh, Hank Brown.
Okay. Yeah. Hanky.
Lester guy.
He's the most Lester guy. Or huge, I guess, Lester. I think they're guy. Both from.
Came over for a McDonald's bags full of McDonald's.
I think we have two Naperville, Illinois QBs now. So they're actually, we have multiple Lester, big time Lester guys. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But speaking of the QB room, I just want to make this point clear as well. This has been 30 minutes of Gronowski love, right? Which is warranted, in my opinion. We also really need Brendan Sullivan to still stick around.
Absolutely.
that is also still very important.
We want Sully to be here and push, and we want him to push Gronowski for the starting role. That would be great, right? Yeah. And then we'd love to have Sullivan as a great two option, develop Hank Brown as a number three, or Jimmy Sullivan. Is that his name? Fucking Jimmy Sullivan, I think it is.
It's Brennan and Jimmy.
Okay. Have great options that are building, that they're evolving, they're getting better, they are expanding their ability at the quarterback position over the next couple years. We might be digging ourselves out of a hole here. We've been saying it all year, basically since Lee. Let Lester cook. Let him get his guys in the room. Let him get his offense in there. We're cooking with fire. The only bad thing about Gronowski is that he's got 1 year.
Yeah, but this is how it goes. Like the way, and not that it wasn't always this way before. I think we kind of got lucky where Stanley played like 8 years as a starter.
It felt like, yeah.
So that was nice. But I feel like a lot of, and I could just be totally wrong about this as well, but like a lot of Iowa quarterbacks in the future was like, you got 2 years usually.
Sure.
One at most. Like there's never been a freshman starter for Ferentz to my knowledge.
No, I don't think so.
So like, it's not like we've been like, oh yeah, we have five-year quarterback, so-and-so, but.
This was the picture. Sean Bock tweeted this. This is 2019 Mark Gronowski coming out of high school on a recruiting visit to Iowa with the best background, kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, logo. It's the Ohio State eye, like connecting eyes, gray backgrounds, photo drop. Obviously, he looks like a high school kid in this picture, but you know, he says it comes full circle, circa 2019,
yeah.
And he's quote tweeting his commitment.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
It is really cool. It's a cool story. I'm very excited to see. I mean, there's going to be a lot of Gronowski talk as we move forward here.
I'm going to be, and this is what I love, the summertime of college football and like the NFL, because it is just like two highlights will push a team's win total up.
Oh yeah,
four games in your head.
Yeah,
which I love, and you know it hurts a little bit too sometimes that doesn't happen. Like there's only like maybe one or two teams a year that actually works for. You know, so there is that, but it's definitely going to happen. Like I'm going to be, and I think it's just you'd have to make a pretty compelling argument to me that it's not going to help Iowa.
There is no doubt you bring this guy in and like he is your starter. Yeah. Again, it's not that he's automatically, like the guy can't just go out there and start being terrible in practice. Why would he? But like if he, like,
well, this happened at Boise State this year, was that they had a QB and then they brought in Malachi Nelson, was their big get in the portal. And then in, what was it, like 2 weeks before game one, they announced that Maddox Madison was going to start over this five-star they brought in. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, are we, what happened? And it was like, you just beat him out. He was better.
And that's like, why you always have a competition.
Yeah.
But when you're recruiting this guy, you're telling Gronowski, and the number, Grant, I don't know. This is the one that's being thrown around, $1.2 million.
That's like a lot of dough.
We went and paid 1.2, and then you're sitting there and you're like, wow, really feels like they had to like really convince Gronowski. It's like, man, it really feels like we just had to find a way to be okay with giving him seven figures. Like
that's probably just, hey, can you give me a number that's bigger than a NFL
sure
rookie minimum contract that I was going
to
get?
But yeah, because he could, because there's a decent chance that he goes and he finds a way to be a third string or a practice squad guy, and he's like, the kid is, he's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So he's going to be, you know, in a year, he's going to be 24. Like he's,
here's the thing too, that I think also we're in a different age of like QB age for drafts.
Sure.
Like look at they took the top 15 or 10 or whatever it was, Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. Now he looks like he's the guy moving forward for the Falcons. Right. That I think part of what could be appealing for Gronowski, depending on his risk, is that could he have ended up on a squad in some shape or form in the NFL this year? Yes. If he now goes to Iowa, plays a Big Ten competition, balls out, plays great, has a fantastic year for Iowa's offense, right? Makes him look great. It's probably going to help his stock.
It would rocket his draft.
Yeah.
Stock. Yeah.
Not that, I mean, we've seen FCS quarterbacks get drafted high before, but like it didn't seem like he was going to be one of them this year.
One of those big questions for Gronowski, for the Iowa Hawkeyes, that I am going to have in that 10 questions episode is going to be revolving around, weapons.
So
who do we get, right? Who do we get? We got this Chase Phillips kid. Yeah. We have Jacob Gill. Sam Phillips, whatever.
And I stand by too. He's got to commit still too. Like that would help tremendously. He's a good player.
Is he good? I haven't seen anything about him.
Good. Yeah, Chattanooga, solid player. I mean, he's. I think people's knock on him is that he's not that tall, but he's quick. He makes good catches anyway.
I mean, like, who do we have that's tall anyway, right? Like, I mean,
maybe Gronowski, 6'3", and allegedly he can catch them all. So
maybe we play him and Sully at the same time.
Do you remember what? Well, all I'm saying, I would like to see one play. It doesn't even, they don't even got to snap it. What if like Gronowski's lined out wide and Sullivan is at snaps the ball one time?
I mean, they put Scadaboo out there and threw him a 60-yard pass. Why can't we?
I don't know. Throw something weird out there. They don't even got to snap it. Make the defense think for a second.
Let Lester cook a little bit. Let him get the whole thing in this offseason. You never know.
I don't know. He has some trickeration. I do want to bring up the point with the – I saw it going around today that I think 15 of the 18 quarterbacks now projected starters next year in the Big Ten have all transferred. Mm-hmm. And like 9 of them are fresh transfers this year.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that as well.
It's a new age. It's crazy.
And that you can look at that two ways. You can look at that and try to just be in a vacuum and be like, man, this sucks. Like what college football has turned into. Or you could just move on because you're not going to change it. And that's the way things are going to be now. I think at this point, and there's still going to be like, you know, half of the Big Ten who has somebody that they've developed and they're like, oh no, like we recruited this guy. He turned out to be who we thought he was or who we thought he could be. And he does start for 3 years, right? Assuming you can keep him and he's like not crazy good in his first or second year. And then somebody like Texas or Alabama comes and poaches him. But yeah, you're still going to find that. It's just not going to be as often because we're in a prove it and get paid market now. Because that's because the rules allow for that. So,
and I always stand by too. People, I feel like the blame of all the NIL stuff is in the wrong direction. Like, I think the players deserve money.
Absolutely.
Like, they generate so much money for the university. Some of them, their image is so big that they're like, it's still bad. I mean, he took money anyway, but like, could you imagine how much money, like, man, a guy like Manziel missed out on in college, or like how much Tim Tebow missed out on in college? Not that they're both not doing well now. But like, it's crazy how much attention these guys have. And I understand I think like Teddy Roosevelt actually created the NCAA. I'm sure when he created it, he never imagined how popular these college athletes could be. Right. But
sure,
they deserve money. It's up to the NCAA's got to finally needs to do something productive.
The NCAA has.
Like it's not Quinn Ewer's fault or Arch Manning's fault that the NCAA is horrible at moderating this.
Yeah, the NCAA, which is the governing body, let the market get away from them as far as regulation and popularity. And they fucked that up completely, basically. Yeah. And it is what it is. I do want to say one last thing about Gronowski. I know we've done 40 minutes on him.
We'll do
4,000 more, I'm sure, this offseason.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the hype in the offseason. I can already picture like, oh, spring game. Like, oh, yeah, Gronowski's coming out there. We're going to get to see him in action, see him in the Tiger Hawk. From the beginning, my opinion was, do we go get a guy that's like a big time? You know, we try and go spend. Now, unfortunately, we kind of combine the two options. My whole thing was like, can we get a guy from the FCS? I literally said the FCS or the MAC or the Sun Belt, someone who's got a lot of promise, but like maybe isn't going to get as much of the hype. Can we pay a little less for him? Mm-hmm. Or are we going to have to pay a Pribula or somebody like that over $1 million. Well, we got the guy from the right spot. We just ended up having to pay the same amount of money. True. I'm fine with that. I think, I think this is the kind of guy you want though. A guy that's coming up a level. He's now going to play in front of 70,000. That's appealing. All the good things. That's all I have to say. Anything left for you on that?
Go look at like Indiana's roster this year was basically JMU.
Right.
And they went 11-1 in the Big Ten. And they were in the playoffs. So
JMU, Duke's up.
They were JMU and a Canadian quarterback. So
love that.
Like there's good guys out there at all levels. Like that's why like I encourage people to go like go turn on a G5 game, go turn on an FCS game. Like when the Dakota Maker is on ESPN, ABC, South Dakota State, North Dakota State. Like it's good football.
Good
like,
ball.
There's good players at every level, and obviously there's D1 like the Big Ten is going to be stronger than as a whole than the Missouri Valley or like whatever conference North Central at Division III plays in, but there's like that doesn't mean there's like every I mean there's good players at every level. So
yeah, I have two connecting little segue points to get to not one not really but I do want your thoughts as a Big Mac guy on the news that Northern Illinois will join the
it's Mountain West. I'm way more upset about that than anything else, because that's like the
Mac has officially been poached.
It was the tried and true, and also NIU was a successful team in the Mac. They were consistently competing for conference championships. They were bringing they're in terms of, I would guess in terms of money, they got to be up there.
Oh yeah, they're up there for sure.
For the Mac at least, and, you know, also the Mac now too much no school in Illinois in the Mac anymore.
Yeah, I mean they beat title contender Notre Dame.
Yeah, no, they're like Northern Illinois. They had one of my favorite college football players ever, Mr. Rocky Lombardi. He played there for what felt like ages. Legend, yeah,
14 years.
The blonde mullet. No, I think
get him on the show. He's from like 20 minutes away.
Yeah, I don't think I don't blame NIU. Like these TV contracts and stuff aren't.
Oh yeah, they have to take the money for the school.
I really don't blame them at all. Now they're going to be able to again pay. There's good players on NIU that deserve money. Now they can hopefully whatever their NIL thing is can help them out more.
Yeah,
but it just thinks that it was like I like change to an extent, but also I love the tradition of college sports and like. With the Big Ten now, we added UCLA. I'm watching them play Michigan last night. I'm like, you know what? I like that UCLA is in the Big Ten now.
Yeah.
Like, I like that I get to watch this game.
Well, I actually have – that is an incredible segue because look what I have here. I have a little Mick Cronin.
Okay, hold on. Before we do the clip, can I finish my point?
Yeah.
Okay. It stinks that the Mac was the most, like, consistent conference. Breaking it up stinks. I'm almost okay more with losing a team than gaining one in a way. Like if we add,
sure.
What's it? I mean, pick a school. And like if Eastern Illinois now goes to, actually that'd be kind of cool, but
Western Illinois Leathernecks.
Yeah. It's almost harder to join the party than it is to leave it. So I'm bummed out about that. I hope they're okay. I don't really love the new Mountain West the new Pac-12 is fun or wherever they're going, but it's a tough time. I'll respect NIU, but I won't love them as much anymore. It's just a fact.
You mentioned UCLA.
I do. Yeah.
We're going to do a very quick basketball tangent because I saw this clip, a 1 minute clip of Mick Cronin, who, if he grew a beard, we might look similar. And they lost to Michigan.
Yeah.
Last night, and
that was a game they probably needed to.
And this is unbelievable. I mean, just listening on this.
But we don't play. We're soft. So don't tell me you want to win. Like, just don't tell me you want to win. So don't tell me you want to win. It's crazy, you know. And it's every day. I'm tired of it. It's every day. I have the most energy of all of anybody at practice every day. I'm upset with everybody in that locker room, my assistant coaches and my players. I mean, I don't need to do anything else. I almost got 500 wins. I'm only 53. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. But yet I come in and I have more passion and energy and pride than everybody in. That's the problem. So what the truth of it has been, it's really hard to coach people that are delusional. The hungry dog gets the bone. We got guys that think they're way better than they are. They're nice kids. They're completely delusional about who they are. But we don't play.
Unbelievable clip there. Part of me loves this because I like when coaches don't coach speak. I like when that's part of this show. We bring the coaches on and they still got their little, you know, coaching tone to them. But we get LeVar Woods on here. We get Coach Wallace. They start to they throw a couple F bombs. You know, they're hanging out with former players. This guy, Mick Cronin, he's talking to the media. He's a little blamish. Mm-hmm. He's not taking a lot of the credit there because ultimately as a head coach, you are responsible for all of those staff and players. So if they're not.
Yeah, part of me is like, you know, he's like, yeah, I mean, I can't believe these players or whatever. And these coaches like, hey, man, you brought them.
You're the one who recruited them.
Yeah. Like you brought them here. That was you. Like, that's on you, man.
And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay for all of those things to be true. It's okay to be upset with your staff and players. Yeah. And maybe what we miss in this clip, because it's a 60-second social media clip, maybe he has tried to address it. Maybe he's gone to the staff and the players and said, hey, you fucking pussies are soft. We got to get better.
I don't have a problem with him saying, like, we were soft today. That's fine. Because I think, like, you know, a lot of the players probably know that too. But then just being like, I'm my coaches, like, I that comes off a lot as everyone's wrong but me.
Yeah, I do. I kind of like the humble brag. Like, I'm 53. I got 500 wins. What else do I need to do?
Like, that kind of
I don't need to be here.
There's a difference between, like, honesty and reflection of your program. And then there's also being, like, honest, but then still avoiding any blame for it.
Yeah.
Like, if he's, like, says all that and he's like, and it starts with me, I have to fix it because I'm the coach and ultimately I make all the decisions.
Then it's perfect.
Then it's like, fine. Because I remember there was a quote like this last year where Rick Pitino was kind of getting it because he like was literally like naming the players. He was like, so-and-so moves slow laterally.
Okay.
And we have to do all, like, he was saying specific things. And someone asked him like a couple days later, like, hey, coach, like, what was that? And he was like, look, this is how I like, I know these players well. And I brought them here because they can handle me. This is how I motivate my players. And then they went and smacked like Villanova or something by 40 the next game.
Love it.
And everyone just kind of moved on there a little bit. And he's also Rick Pitino, so he kind of gets to get away with that stuff more. But so I understand that in a sense. But he also kind of took it a little bit more with a little bit more humility than Mr. Coach Cronin did there, where he's like, I can never be wrong. You know, like Rick's always like when Rick Pitino did that, he's like, I got to figure it out. I got to figure out how to make, I can't remember the guy's name, not move slow laterally.
Yeah.
Right. But it's just, and it is what it is. And also, too, Rick, and that's, in that instance, could have been like, oh, this is my first year and these aren't my guys. Dude, you've been here forever now.
Yeah.
Like in basketball sense, like you can't blame the staff and the people when you brought them here. Like you could have changed it.
We'll shift over to football. There are some big games as you listen today. That one's on.
Wait, if we're on the topic of basketball real quick, I'm sorry. Did you see the men's game last night?
I went to bed. You're going to love this. Well, first of all, it was on like Peacock or something, wasn't it?
It was on Peacock, yeah.
So I didn't, I couldn't have watched any of it anyway.
You don't
but
have
I was
Peacock?
No, I was following on the Google, like just like the updated, like you search Iowa basketball and it shows the score at the top of the search results. And I saw it go to 70, what was it? 76, 73, whatever, 74, 70, 77, 74. They were up three. It was it was right before they just hit the three at the end. I said, okay, perfect. They were up one. I saw them go up three. I'm like, okay, cool. As long as they don't hit a three at the buzzer, I'm going to wake up and the Hawks won a basketball game tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
First thing I do, I literally closed my phone from that tab, went to sleep. First thing I did when I woke up, grabbed the phone, opened that tab, refreshed, saw it was 97-87. And I said, oh no. Oh yes, but oh no, they let them go to overtime? Like, wow. Yeah. And then obviously I saw all of what transpired. Crazy.
Yeah, no, it was an awesome game. Fantastic. I wish don't get me wrong, I love overtime chaos. Like, that was a very exciting win. I wish we would have just handled them the whole game. Like, we had to come back from, I think, now like 15 or 17 points. That wasn't great. But no, dude's like, I mean, this Josh Dix, man.
All you need is a little Dix in you.
He's incredible. He's a great player. And I don't know. That was a big win for our team because we need our net, in terms of net, our quad one record is not very good. So we need to be beating these teams that are kind of level with us at a very minimum.
Sure.
And we're floating around the bubble right now. We're going to be floating around there, I'm sure, all year. So
gotta win some games.
Yeah. And I think this will age well. Like, that Nebraska squad is solid. So I think that'll be nice.
We're going to shift very quickly into the upcoming. And there's not a lot to say. It's not like I know these teams front to back. We've gotten to see them play in the playoffs. There's two games left. It's the semifinals grant of the college football inaugural 12-team playoff.
Yep.
And your Notre Dame Fighting Irish. In fact, I'll retract that statement. It's not your Notre Dame. And it's not even my Notre Dame. It's somebody's.
Definitely not my Notre Dame.
We'll be taking on Penn State. Notre Dame is a 1.5-point favorite as I look right now at 7:16 p.m. on Wednesday night.
Sure.
That over-under total sitting currently at 44.5. And Friday, so as you listen to this on Thursday, that game is tonight at 6:30. Tomorrow, Friday night at 6:30, the Ohio State Buckeyes will take on Texas. And that is Ohio State -6 with an over-under sitting at 53.5. What excites you, Grant Allen, about the two games left for this college football season? Well, there's one more after that, obviously the championship. But.
Well, I think it is – well, one, first of all, now that we're in the semis, we are guaranteed a coach who has never won before will win a championship this year.
That's cool.
That is cool. So I think in terms of the argument of like, oh, it's the same people dominating over and over and over again, it's slowly whittling away. And I think the expanded playoff helps that a ton. I think NIL helps that a ton. There's a lot of things that are contributing to that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. I love, 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 love that we got the Big Ten representation going on right now.
Yeah.
Because I look at these teams, and I think a lot of people would make the argument that the two strongest right now are out of the Big Ten. So as a conference pride guy, I love that.
Could have an all Big Ten national championship.
Yeah, and I'm not jinxing it or anything, but it like could it happen? Yeah, math-wise, there's a chance. Could it also be zero in the championship? Yeah,
sure.
Math-wise, that could easily happen too. But I just like the prospect of that. I think – but it, when I look at some of these games, I look at – let's start with Penn State, Notre Dame, right? These are two programs I feel like are very, very similar, where it's like you look at Penn State, what's the narrative with James Franklin? The guy can't win a big game. When was the last time he won a big game? Notre Dame, over the past 15 years, what's the narrative with them? They don't win big games, right? Yeah. So I don't know if I'm going to, this could be controversial. I'll go as far to say this. I think the semifinal of the college football playoff is a big game. So
breaking news.
Yeah, I'm gonna get controversial here. I think one of these guys is gonna be forced to win a big game. And it's kind of funny where you look at it, right? Just a big thing when I like to predict games, I visualize what it might look like for a team to win. Can you yourself visualize Penn State with James Franklin in the national championship?
It makes me want to puke.
Close your eyes. Can you visualize it? It's kind of tough for me to visualize that. But at the same time, close your eyes and visualize it. Can you visualize a team that lost to Northern Illinois this season? It's not that they lost to them in 1940. It is they lost to them this year in the national championship game.
It's tough.
It's tough to do. But
I will say Notre Dame must have been out to lunch that day. I will say this, and it was a whole thing like, oh, should Notre Dame be in? Like, they played good down the stretch. They're hot. Like, they are hot.
No, they're playing significantly better football right now. That's not even an argument, right? But you have to remember that's the same team still. Like, that's just as much in them as beating Georgia is. And I think with Notre Dame, I don't know, there's a little bit of a thing where I think the score against Georgia came off bigger than I think the game realistically was.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were like three plays away from that being like a field goal game.
Parker Jones.
Who, again, like I said, I'm kind of a Parker Jones defender. I think the ref ran into him, if I'm being honest. But that's a whole different discussion that you can go on Patreon and listen to. But I'm excited for that game. You go to the other side of the bracket. Ohio State, Texas. Big, big time stuff.
That's right? A big time game. That is college football right there.
Oh, I think in terms of just if you wanted like
brand.
A mix of fresh and also classic, you might have gotten the best you could get. Texas, Ohio State. You have on one side Ryan Day, who has gone from the most hated man in the sport potentially to all of a sudden, like, is he going to win the national championship? Is this the best team ever? Crazy. And then also you have Texas, who just being Texas is always in the spot of they got to win a national title to be back, quote unquote. But they've gotten to the semis now at least 2 years in a row, and they're playing they've played two really good teams both times. There's definitely some pressure there of like, and when you're the coach of Texas, you don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, he can't get past the semi.
Right.
We have to go move on to someone else. I think that'd be stupid, but let's say Ohio State blows them out like they blew out Oregon and Tennessee. There's definitely going to be some people like, is Sark really our long-term guy if we've seen him lose in the big stage a bunch of times?
True.
I don't know. And I think that's going to be an interesting game for sure, because here's the other thing with Ohio State, and you can answer this question. I think it's a good like former player question for it. I think we saw the malicious beatdown of Tennessee in part because of what Michigan did to them. Like, I think they were so angry and so mad. They read for weeks about how they sucked, about how they weren't a good team, about how this was the biggest NIL mistake ever. And they went out there and proved that they were worth more than that. Right. Is now we're two games into this now where all of a sudden the narrative has flipped to, is this the greatest team ever? How much are they going to beat Texas by? These guys are so good that just give them the national championship now. is there a chance that it's flipped already to back to where it was of like where the press clippings now are too good and they're kind of they don't have to prove everyone wrong as much anymore?
I don't think they've lost the fire, but I do think that after two blowout victories over what were perceived to be pretty dang good teams, especially the Oregon one.
It's the playoff now. These are all good teams, I would say.
Well, the Tennessee – well, yeah, that was the first round of the playoff. I think as a player, you have to try to avoid getting a little bit tight. Not necessarily not caring, but caring too much that now you're going to play tight. And
sure,
there could be a little bit of that, right? Like, and there's and a little bit of that too is also understanding like, hey, we're going up against, like, we cannot overestimate our ability, even though we're crushing teams. Like, Texas is a good football team. You play this game 100 times, Texas wins some of those times, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we see another blowout. I think we see Ohio State win. But it is one interesting situation where, like, it feels like they could win a national championship. And they're like, okay, but also Ryan Day, like, yeah.
And look, a lot of this is me playing devil's advocate, right?
No, I understand.
I the same thing with Arizona State and Boise State and every other team, because I don't want to just come on here and be like, we're just going chalk. We're picking the bet. We're just going, oh, shocker, they picked Ohio State, who's now like minus 500 to win the whole thing. Wow.
Yeah. They actually on DraftKings have odds of all four potential matchups for the championship. Like if Ohio State wins, if Notre Dame wins, if Penn State wins, if Texas, okay, the biggest,
what is Texas versus Penn State in the championship?
That it would be the second closest spread, but like theoretical spread of a 3-point Texas minus three.
I love Penn State there.
The closest spread is if Notre Dame and Texas were to win. That's Texas -2.5.
Ooh, what is okay? Hold on. What is Ohio State and Notre Dame?
That's -7.5 Ohio State.
Wow. See, and this is where I think,
and Ohio State Penn State -8.5 Ohio State.
So here's the issue: is that with both teams that could potentially play Ohio State are not chuck it down field teams. Like Ohio State can go fast. They can score quickly.
They can go damn fast.
The games that Penn State and Notre Dame want to play is running the ball through your face, like chunk yardage. Drew Aller can throw it.
Play defense.
Riley Leonard can throw it, but they don't want to have to throw it 45 yards downfield every single play.
Correct.
They want a methodical, low-scoring game is what they want. So I think that that's interesting that all of a sudden it blows up to like, yeah, Ohio State could absolutely torch these guys.
Yeah. Which
in theory, they could, but also – I don't know. I just as much as I can, I have to criticize Notre Dame for being like, that's the same team that lost to NIU. They have that in them. Ohio State also lost to Michigan. Like they have that in them as well too, which I'm worried that's going to come back out it would almost be too college football. Like as soon as we started awarding this team for being really good, they just went back to themselves.
You're right. Do you want to make some picks?
We can make some picks. Sure.
I'm going to make three picks.
I hate all of these. I'm going to be honest.
They all stink.
I hate all of these already.
I'm going
to
go.
I don't have anything to write this down.
I will go first, and then I'll read Kevin's, and then you can finish. I'm going to take Penn State at the current +1.5 line over Notre Dame. I don't necessarily like either of these teams in the national championship or seeing them succeed, but I do feel like Penn State's been playing well, and I'd love to see an all Big Ten national championship. I'll take Penn State +1.5. I'm also going to take that game to go over 44.5.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
And then in the Ohio State game, I'm going to take Ohio State -6. Do I make a pick? Do I make four picks? I'm going to say that game goes over as well, 53.5. I'm going to say over on both games. Kevin, Ward's Winners is the segment, by the way. Kevin's picks is Penn State Notre Dame under. He got it at 45.5. And Ohio State -5.5.
I saw that. He's got the better lines.
He did.
In theory. Well, I guess if you wanted if you went opposite, you went over, so I guess you got a better line there. If I'm doing picks here, I hate that I can't do just a million picks right now. We didn't even recap the other picks. I don't even know what my record was.
I don't either.
I had like eight games pending in the bowl games.
I don't remember either.
I think it was going okay, if I remember correctly. We'll have to go
back. I have no idea how it went. I lost the Iowa bet. I know that.
Did you even pick Iowa? I don't even think you did.
Oh, okay.
Do we need to go back? Do we need to pull the receipts?
No, we don't need to. We don't need receipts right now.
What my picks? I didn't really write a ton of stuff down. I'm going to take the under Penn State Notre Dame. I like that. I just think both teams are going to be running the ball. It's chewing up clock. I also, again, they both went low scoring. I like their defenses. I don't really, I think if Notre Dame gets to 20 points, like the game is like is there enough time left? Like I think, and like I mentioned earlier, with that Notre Dame game versus Georgia, 3 points, like three plays go differently, and that game is a lot more low scoring than it seemed. Like think of it, they had the fumble that turned into a touchdown like last minute in the first half. Like that game went from 6-3 Georgia to all of a sudden Georgia's first drive with like 10 seconds into the second half, they're on 20-6.
Yeah, I know.
So I think that might be a little bit inflated. I'm also going to take Penn State for the same reasons. I think Notre Dame might be a little overvalued right now. And I think just everyone's hopping on Notre Dame right now. So I'm going to do it as I'm going to hop off of Notre Dame.
You zig when they zag.
I'll take Penn State there. I struggle taking Ohio State a little bit just because I think they're the most – like everyone and their mother is going to take Ohio State now.
Sure, yeah.
Like you somehow went from like Tennessee, everyone was like, Ohio State stinks, we're all going to take Tennessee, to now just a few weeks later, everyone's like, you have to take Ohio State. But my thing is with the playoff this year is that a lot of it has just been everyone's taking this one team and they're just right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everyone's like, I was so worried because I was like, oh my gosh, like 85% of bets are on Penn State, like against SMU. This stinks. And just, hey, you know what? Maybe 85% of people were just right.
Occasionally, the public gets it right because it just is obvious.
Yeah. So I hate it. I'm gonna take. You took OSU as well, right?
I did.
We can't all take OSU.
Well, you could.
This is a bad setup.
Could.
This is why I need more games so we don't all take the same games. This stinks. I guess I'm gonna take the Broncos plus 9.5. Then is the way that I have to do it against.
Oh,
the
let's go.
Look, no one's expecting it. No one would. I saw someone did like they let.
I might want to sprinkle some money line on there.
The plastic helmets pick, and the plastic helmets pick the Broncos. So that's all I need to see. No, we'll just do Ohio State. Screw it. Okay, so I have Penn State, the Penn State under, and Ohio State -6,
and the Broncos +9.5.
Are you going to let me do the NFL?
You're going to absolutely.
Well, all right. Hold on. Do we just we might have to cut this out now. Do we just want to pull up the NFL lines as well? Do we just want to go wild card weekend? Is that what you want? You want to get crazy with this?
Not really. No.
Okay. No, we don't have to. All right. I'll keep it those three then. We'll keep it simple. How's that?
I like it. College football continues to wind down. Only three games left. Iowa grabs Mark Gronowski in the portal, and the walk-ons are off and running for 2025. We're happy you're here. We're happy to have MG as QB1, theoretically, probably. And we are excited to do more episodes coming soon that will have guests on them. But we also have some themed episodes. Like I said, the 10 questions. I've got a couple other lined up. Lima and Eicholt are going to be coming back on for their monthly appearance. We're going to get them monthly in the offseason. We have a lot coming down the pipe. Thanks for being with us. Grant and Kluve out. See you next time. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.